Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. This is your first-time host for this podcast, Jeff Malinoff. This is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. We're going to start with some quarterbacks this first segment, and then we're going to go on from position to position. And at the end of the day, I'll tell you who to start, who to not, and who do you think is going to do well, and who do you think is not going to do well. So basically, who's hot, who's not. All right, we'll start with the quarterbacks, though, because that's probably the most fun. I think everyone is happy if they have Patrick Mahomes on their fantasy football starters, which is fine, which I don't blame you. He's been playing very well. I mean, 10 touchdowns in two games really speaks for itself. But overall, I would hold off on not having a good backup right now, because he's probably named as your backup. You probably draft him as your backup, which is totally fine, which is a smart choice. But keep on to that starting quarterback you chose at the beginning, because you never know what's going to happen at the end of the season. He is hot for the first two games, but I think everyone's a little too keen on him, so I think we should take it down a notch right now, for at least, until later in the week, because the Kansas City Chiefs have been known to start hot and in the middle have a horrible slump. I mean, last year really speaks for itself, starting 6-0 and barely winning the AFC West at the end of the season, and then losing to the Tennessee Titans, but we won't get into that. But if you have Patrick Mahomes, if it's fantasy or you're trying to pick him for DraftKings, I think right now is a good time to have him, because he's facing a not-so-good secondary in the San Francisco 49ers. Because the San Francisco 49ers, if you saw from last week, almost gave up a 30-13 lead against the not-very-good Lions. Matt Stafford was playing pretty bad in the first half, and in the second half, he kind of came alive again. But if I'm in DraftKings, or am I in FanDuel, or am I just in a fantasy football league, I'm starting Patrick Mahomes. I highly recommend that. I honestly expect some people to also trade for him, which also makes sense, but I'm also predicting some people are not trading him right away, or not giving up him unless they have something good. But I would keep an open mind about the trades that will come to you if some people are asking for Patrick Mahomes. So don't make him an untradeable player yet. Again, it's only been two games, so if there's a good offer, I'm not saying for like if someone's trading you for Ryan Fitzpatrick, I wouldn't say take it. But if someone's giving you like a pretty decent running back that's improving, or someone that you think you would like to have on your team, don't hesitate to pick him. But I would think about it. Like, don't think, oh, this is not a good pick, I'll decline it. Or not a good trade, excuse me, I'll decline it. Really think about it. Really think about you got to think more than just this week. I think that's a very key for Patrick Mahomes. That's what I would say, at least. He's good right now, but don't get your hopes up for the entire season. As for the rest of the quarterbacks, at least, Kirk Cousins is obviously a good choice if you're in FanDuel or DraftKings right now, because he's playing very good football, and they're playing the Buffalo Bills this week, so I would take full advantage of that, at least. And talking about hot quarterbacks with Patrick Mahomes, Ryan Fitzpatrick is one that I would also have to talk about because he's turning into talks about Conor McGregor. He looks like dressing like Conor McGregor, and which is funny, and he's kind of enjoying the good spotlight while he has it. I would be careful with him because the fact that he has two good games against two, I wouldn't say the best defenses, and I wouldn't say the worst either. I'd say in the middle of the pack defense. So I would keep a low profile with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Don't show him off right away. As what I mean by that is, don't have him as your the guy right away. Don't like show off to your friends. Oh, I have Ryan Fitzpatrick, because the guy's a journeyman. He's a 7th round pick out of Harvard. I mean, he's not, and he's been in the league for quite some time now. So I wouldn't show off that you have him if you're labeling your fantasy football players. But right now, I would still keep him. But when the question is, when Jameis Winston returns from his suspension, if they keep with Ryan Fitzpatrick or go back to Jameis Winston is still unknown. So I would keep an eye out for that, just to maybe try to hear things about the coach if he ever asks that question. He's still undecided at the moment because it's, again, 2 weeks of the season, so it's still very, very early to tell. But the quarterbacks that I think are someone that you can have for the entire season. And when I mean the entire season, I mean you can trust them to put up some good points every week. Cam Newton's one of those guys. I say Cam Newton because, he's been playing a lot better than he did last year, that's for sure. And he's an NFL MVP for a reason back in 2015. But he's always the focal point of the offense, whether it's running the ball or passing the ball. He's the focal point. He's their top weapon, if you could say that. Also, I would say like avoid Matt Ryan right now, because Matt Ryan has been struggling and he's not in his MVP form right now. Like Cam Newton feels like he's back in his MVP form. I wouldn't say Matt Ryan is in his MVP form right now. He's been kind of struggling. Last week, he had 272 yards for 2 touchdowns and a pick. That's not mind-blowing numbers, but that's still positive numbers. But it's not something you want as a starting a quarterback that you want to get points for. So I would definitely keep an eye on him. He did go. He did complete 23 passes out of 28, which is impressive to say the least. But again, 272 yards, 2 picks, 1. Or 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, is good. It's like not super good. It's like, I would say about like 20 some odd points, maybe less even. It's close to 300, so maybe I'll go 25 points. But the pick really went minus that, so it's 23. I would say 23 points around there. Deshaun Watson. I know a lot of people probably picked Deshaun Watson in their draft because of how hot he was last year, and unfortunately before his tore his ACL. He's not been playing the best of football right now. He's kind of struggling a lot. If you watched his game last week, last play of the game, he kind of played like a rookie. What I mean by that is he didn't really understand. He didn't know where he was on the field because he went over the line of scrimmage, and he kind of panicked because he threw it in like double coverage to DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of the field with no time on the clock. He didn't like bomb it into the end zone, which I don't know what the Houston Texans were planning. I don't know if they were playing some laterals or something like that. But again, the pass wasn't great either, and DeAndre Hopkins was on the ground as he caught the ball. So I don't know what the plan was offensively by the offensive coordinator, what the idea was, but it wasn't smart all around, and it just was an abstract failure right off the bat. So as Deshaun Watson owners, don't freak out just yet. Give him a second. But I would bench him this week. If the last 2 weeks were any indication, just sit him out for now. And if you have another quarterback, maybe Andy Dalton's your backup, I would go with him right now because 2-0 is pretty good for the first 2 weeks for the Bengals, and he's been playing really decent. So I would definitely go with him if he's your backup. And if your backup's like Sam Bradford or Blaine Gabbert or Alex Smith may be a good replacement for this week at least, just to see what happens. But Sam Bradford's the one starting quarterback in the NFL that I would avoid having at all times. because he's been struggling. And I don't know if it's him or it's basically the entire Cardinals team that's struggling, but when the Cardinals were looking for people, for a quarterback at least, in the draft this year, he was not one of those guys that was going to be the best pick for them. I mean, there was Kirk Cousins, there's Case Keenum, who was off a hot year, and they got kind of the lowest pick, the lowest option, the worst option, maybe the worst option you can say, in the quarterback free agency pool. But again, he's struggling. The Arizona Cardinals don't really have an identity right now. Their defense is after losing the Honey Badger, Matthew, and losing Carson Palmer to retirement, and Bruce Arians, their head coach, really put a factor of this team is in desperate rebuilding mode. As in, this team's not going to be a contender for a playoff spot or any competition in the NFC West for, I would say, a couple of years. So I know they got Rosen as their quarterback for the future, which is a good pick, which was a smart choice. But I feel like they're going to keep Sam Bradford for a little bit and see, because this I think the seasons they know they're not going to win. They don't really have a chance at the playoffs. If they do, I would give them credit for giving it an opportunity, giving it a chance. But overall, I would say that they are looking towards the future, not now, which is totally understandable. Their team, they don't really have a lot of weapons. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's kind of wasting his career over there. I wish him to go to a better team and a better chance at winning a championship before he retires, because he is a Hall of Famer. I don't think that's any question. And it kills me to say this, but maybe, like, I will talk about wide receivers more later, but since he doesn't have a quarterback to throw him the ball to, I would maybe avoid having Larry Fitzgerald as my number one or number two wide receiver on my fantasy team for right now. If you have a flex player, maybe you play him, but right now I would keep him on the bench. But overall, it's, again, Patrick Mahomes is the top guy right now in fantasy. Throwing 6 touchdowns last week is no easy feat. Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know. Their last couple of games have been mediocre at best. And 0-1-1 speaks for itself. And tying the Browns speaks for itself. But overall, I would say that Ben Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown is not the 1-2 punch you think you that can burn the league as it has in the past. I mean, Antonio Brown's been kind of a diva as of late. Ben Roethlisberger is reaching the end of his career. I feel like the Steelers are reaching the end of their dominant playoff run. I think in the next, maybe even next season, by next season, they'll be in a rebuilding period. If they get rid of Le'Veon Bell, which probably by end of season, if he comes back and is a free agent, he's not going to re-sign with those Steelers. But that team itself is starting to lose its momentum, starting to lose its championship window. So if I'm a guy with a Steelers quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, or Antonio Brown, I'm going to be careful. I'm definitely going to be careful, because that team's just not looking good right now. And there's a lot of drama off the field with them, and that is showing on the football field. I'm not saying get rid of Antonio Brown or get rid of Ben Roethlisberger, but be optimistic about trades that come your way for those guys, because they might be a good trade item to get for an upgrade. But it's got to be something really good with Antonio Brown, granted. But with Ben Roethlisberger, you probably get a good running back or a better quarterback out of the deal when take advantage of some people that don't know football that well and just are in it for like the cash pool you're doing. But if I'm doing like DraftKings or a fan duel, I'm not taking Ben Roethlisberger right now. I might take Antonio Brown if I have the available purchase for him on the app, but overall, I'm not making them a priority. And we're going to take a little break right now, and that's it for the quarterbacks. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the running backs and, who's the best running back in the league right now. And it's a very interesting discussion, to say the least, and we'll be on that right after this.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
And welcome back to the Fantasy Football Podcast. We're going from quarterbacks to running backs right now. And looking at the running backs, the leading rusher right now in the NFL is Matt Breida. Yes, you heard me right. Matt Breida of the San Francisco 49ers, who is an undrafted free agent a couple years ago. And right now he has the lead in the league in 184 rushing yards. And it's all mainly thanks to that one game against Detroit where he had 138 yards rushing on 11 carries. And he had a couple of touchdowns to his credit as well. So, going into that, do you pick up Matt Breida in free agency if he's on waivers? Do you use him in DraftKings? And my answer to that is, why not? I know that sounds kind of silly saying, why not? But what I'm saying is, if you have a running back that you're not too keen on your bench, he's a great idea for a bench player. Because if you have a bye week and you need a running back, he could be that good bye week running back for you. And he can also surprise you as a flex player too and really show up because he's been on both the passing game and the running game. I mean, he also had four passing attempts to him with 3 completions. And that could also use good for red zone type of situations for him. So I would definitely say yes right now. Pick him up if you have a backup running back that you're not too keen on. And he'd be a great backup. He's not like a number one, obviously. He's not a guy you would start every week. But I would definitely have him just in case you like he's playing a weak defense or a weak defensive line in the coming weeks. Against Arizona would be a good example to start him in. But with them facing Kansas City, I'm not entirely sure. I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. So if you need anyone on the Niners, it'll be like Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback if you don't have a good quarterback at the moment. Or the thing is with Marquise Goodwin, who I know a lot of people picked in their draft, and I don't blame them. He was very hot with Garoppolo at the last 5 games of the season. But he was still questionable for their game against the Chiefs on Sunday. So I would be very hesitant on seeing if he'll start or not. Don't take the chance. But if you do have him, keep him, because once he's back, he'll be Garoppolo's go-to. But right now, it's George Kittle that's his go-to at the tight end. So if you need someone with that Kansas City game on the Niners, go with George Kittle, the tight end. But going back to running backs, another surprising is Phillip Lindsay of the Denver Broncos, who's been playing really well, too. Rushed for over 100 yards last week with Denver. And I think he's a guy that will be their top running back going into the rest of the season. The thing is, the 49ers, is they use the backup Alfred Morris a lot, too. So Breida and Morris are going back and forth on the snaps. And it looks like Phillip Lindsay gets a lot of snaps, a lot of plays, and he got 15 plays last week. It was the same as Breida, granted, but when you see Alfred Morris in the snap plays he got, it was a lot of red zone stuff, and it was a lot of punching it in. So he'll have more chances at touchdowns in the red zone, I feel like, than Matt Breida will. Phillip Lindsay will get the ball in the red zone, I feel like. I feel like they'll go to him if the pass doesn't work with Case Keenum. So I would definitely go with Phillip Lindsay. I think he is a commodity right now. I think he'll be very useful throughout the entire year. He's their starter, I think, for the rest of the year. I think that they don't have a strong enough running game to use somebody else and trust someone else with the same amount of plays. So yeah, go with Phillip Lindsay in your DraftKings or FanDuel. If you have him in fantasy, he must have been a very late pick or you got lucky. But if he is on waivers, pick him up. I recommend picking him up. He is hot right now, and I don't see him slowing down. I saw some people pick Saquon Barkley in the first round. I saw a lot of that in some fantasy football drafting, and I would say that's a lot for a rookie. I think that's putting a lot of pressure. I think that's you're putting too much eggs in this rookie basket. Because there's a key thing with the running backs. You need an offensive line to really improve, and the New York Giants have probably the worst offensive line in the league. So picking Barkley, even though he is a great talent coming out of Penn State, no doubt about it, he is very good. I would be very hesitant in thinking he's going to be the top guy. I would have thought he would have been a middle-of-the-round draft type of thing. People that picked him in the first, he did do well in week one. But this last week, he only had 11 carries for 28 yards. So that really shows that his offensive line can cost fantasy footballers the game if you're looking for Barkley to put up some points. So be very careful with that. He did get a lot of throws to him. Like, he got passed to 16 times, caught 14 passes, which for a running back is really good. But he didn't have any touchdowns. Like, he had no touchdowns that game. So he got 14 receptions for 80 yards and 11 carries for 28 yards. And that's good receiving work for a running back, but points-wise, that's pretty lacking. So overall, I would say maybe you shouldn't have gone all out for Saquon Barkley. But, again, that's my opinion. But with how he's been playing and how the offensive line has been playing for the Giants, I would probably keep him on your bench for right now. I would say that was a bad pick. I don't say bad pick much when it comes to fantasy football because anyone could do well at any time. And I'm not saying Barkley is a bad player. He's a great running back, no question about it. But with his offensive line letting guys in like a turnstile, he can't get many yards when as soon as he gets the ball from Manning, there's three or four linemen already on him. Like, you got to give him some room to work, and he's getting no room to work with the Giants' offensive line. So I would keep him on your bench for now. And I'm sorry if you picked him in the first round, but you had to think about the offensive line going into the season at least. But then looking at, like, Alvin Kamara, he's been a beast. Like, he was great with Ingram last season, and with Ingram suspended for the next couple of games, I would say that he's going to get the ball a lot. And with Drew Brees struggling right now, not at his best, I would say Kamara is their go-to offensive weapon, no doubt about it. I mean, he had 13 carries, but only 46 rushing yards. But he did get six passes to him, and he completed all six passes for 53 yards. So he is still a go-to guy in the offense. Now, does that mean he's going to get more carries? I think so. 13 carries is still a good for a day. Maybe not compared to Todd Gurley, who got 19 carries. But again, Todd Gurley had 19 carries for only 42 yards. Todd Gurley, who had 19 carries for 42 yards, but he had three touchdowns. So you got to think about that. Like, he was a red zone guy. Kamara is kind of like midfield kind of guy, like hoping he'll break out for a run, and he didn't in his last game. But I would still hold on to Kamara as your number one running back. I think he's still one of the top running backs. If not, he's easily number one, two or three running back in the league, in my opinion. So, and the Saints know that, and they're going to utilize him as much as they can. So I would definitely, definitely, definitely go with him later on for the rest of the season. But going with other running backs, some sleepers, I would say. I wouldn't say Powell is a sleeper, because Crowell gets a lot of the carries as himself, but I would say Crowell is the sleeper out of those two. I think Crowell gets the more touchdowns than he did. Got a couple touchdowns against the Browns on Thursday. It wasn't enough, however. But he did, if you don't like no-nonsense kind of guys, I wouldn't pick him, because he did kind of wipe his rear end with a football and throw it into the Cleveland crowd, which is pretty darn disrespectful. But if that doesn't bother you at all, I would keep him, because he's getting the ball in that end zone for the Jets. Either it's in the red zone or he's breaking on some runs and getting progress, that's for sure. Marshawn Lynch, I feel like, should be done. As in, he should have stayed retired. I understand he wanted to play for Oakland, But when you have stats like 18 carries for only 65 yards and a touchdown, that's not really that good. Because you get 18 carries, you only get 65 yards, and you're supposed to be this beast mode. Of course, he is at the end of his career, so people should not have picked him early. He is a flex player right now, if anything. But one guy that I think a lot of people are high on, as well as I am, is Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he had 15 passes to him and completed 14 of them and went for 102 yards. I mean, he is utilizing that offense both as a runner and, well, he only got 8 carries granted for 37 yards, but he's still getting carries and he's still getting the ball passed to him. So Christian McCaffrey is that weapon that I would keep in the draft or in your fantasy team right now, excuse me. So I would say Christian McCaffrey is probably the most productive running back right now in fantasy football. Just because he's getting both passes and runs. So if you have him, I recommend holding on to him because I would not trade him. He is a no-trade guy for me. He's going to be in that offense all the time in the rest of the season, in my opinion. So Christian McCaffrey is a who's hot right now. A guy who's not is Kareem Hunt. Like, he did get 18 carries for 75 yards. But last year, he was rushing for like 200 yards around this time last season. So he's kind of been under the radar compared to Patrick Mahomes. I think since Mahomes has been on fire, they've been passing the ball more than they've been running. But I think Kareem Hunt's still been a disappointment this season so far. But it's only been 2 weeks, so I will give him that, the benefit of the doubt. But overall, I would definitely say Kareem Hunt has been disappointing to some fantasy football owners right now because of how he has been not utilized compared to Patrick Mahomes. But another guy that's been not really utilized that I thought would was Melvin Gordon of the Los Angeles Chargers. He only got 9 carries for 28 yards last week. He did get 7 passes thrown to him, and he had 2 passing touchdowns, or receiving touchdowns, excuse me. But the bottom line is they don't use him as often as they should, especially on the running game. He can be a very dangerous runner if given the opportunity, but with only 8-9 carries, you don't really have that chance. You got to get this ball a little bit more. You got to give him a little more time, or give him a little more runs. Give him chances to make an impact. I mean, look at the Falcons. I mean, Coleman, the Atlanta Falcons running back, he got 16 carries for 107 yards. I mean, he got a chance to utilize. He got up to the century mark. And then you look at Melvin Gordon, who only got 9 carries for 28 yards. I mean, you can't really do much with that. But he did get a couple of passes, but he is something you should utilize way more than 9 carries and 7 pass attempts too. Like, I think Melvin Gordon could be a top running back if used more. I mean, he was in 16 plays and got only a handful. He didn't even break the 100-yard mark when combining his running and his receiving. So maybe you got to use him more. I recommend using him more. If they don't use him more, then he's kind of dead weight on your fantasy team. But overall, I would definitely say if you don't have Matt Breida and he's available, take him. If you have Philip Lindsay, keep him. He's going to be utilized more. If you have Barkley, I would bench him for right now because that offensive line is costing him, like I said before. But we're going to take another little break, and when we come back, we'll go about their wide receivers, and we'll also talk about the tight ends because they're both kind of the same thing when it comes to points. But we'll be on that right after this.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Podcast. We talked about running backs. We've talked about quarterbacks. Now let's get into the wide receivers and tight ends. Right now, when you look at tight ends, I'll just go and write in tight ends. They're getting a lot of the balls. They're getting a lot of the passes thrown to them. Maybe not as much as you would expect. Like, Jesse James got only five passes to him, and he caught all five, and he got 138 yards passing, one touchdown. And with that, I would be very high on Jesse James, because with a performance like that, you're going to get the ball more often in the next couple of games when you have a performance like that. So I recommend, if you don't have Jesse James or he's in the waivers, pick him up, because I think he's going to get the ball a lot more often than he does right now, and he'll have more than five passes to him. And if he plays as well as he did last week, he'll have more than 138 yards passing, which is hard to ask for. But with performance like that, with only five passes thrown to you, he's definitely a guy I would keep as my tight end. He was definitely a guy that Roethlisberger relies on. He'll become a guy that Roethlisberger relies on if he only threw him five passes this week. So I'm assuming with a performance like that, he'll get the ball more next week. Guaranteed. With Travis Kelce and how good Patrick Mahomes is playing, and with the 49ers coming up and they're not a good secondary, I feel like Travis Kelce is going to have a career day. And this is just my opinion, but I feel like with the secondary the 49ers have been lacking, Travis Kelce is going to go off. He got thrown 10 passes last week, and he only caught 7, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's going to get the ball a lot more this game. But with Reuben Foster coming back and Malcolm Smith coming back for this week for the 49ers at linebacker, he might get a little trouble, but if they do the routes right, if he doesn't go in the middle where the linebackers are, and if he does routes to the safeties, outs like deep balls with the safeties, or outside where the corners are, and he's getting one-on-one by one of those linebackers, that might be a different story, and he might get some completions. So it all depends on how they do, and it all depends if Mahomes keeps this momentum he has going and throws the ball to Kelce. But I would still start Kelce, and I would still think he's going to have a good day, a career day against the 49ers, because that secondary is not at the best. Their defensive line is a whole different story. If Mahomes gets rushed, that might be a different story. But right now, I play it safe, and Kelce is like it's a baby pacifier. He's there for you, and he's gonna make you feel better. He is a safety blanket. I would definitely consider him a safety blanket. So going into the other tight ends, Jimmy Graham has been playing relatively well with the he only got 8 plays in with the Green Bay Packers last week. Do I expect more from him? Yes. Do I expect him to get more looks and more plays? That's to be determined, because they don't really utilize their tight end when it comes to passing the ball. They use those plays that Graham was in to throw him the ball, because he's just that special of a player. But a lot of times they use that tight end for blocking, give Aaron Rodgers more time to throw it to one of his key receivers like Randall Cobb. So I wouldn't say that Jimmy Graham is going to have a career year, because that's hard to come by because of how good he has in the past, but I would definitely say he's gonna get some passes to him, probably in the red zone, probably close for touchdowns. But will he be a go-to receiver for Aaron Rodgers? That's yet to be determined. I don't see him right now as his go-to receiver when you only have eight snaps, and he did get 8 passes thrown to him, granted, but with a guy like Graham, you got to throw more than 8 balls. You got to throw more than 8 passes. He's a special player, and he deserves more an opportunity. Or maybe not an opportunity, but he deserves more of a look. And I hope Aaron Rodgers does look for him. I know he's kind of injured right now, Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he'll use Graham as like a short pass off a play action type of thing. But in reality, I just see Jimmy Graham his numbers are kind of going to fall this year compared to the last couple of years. So I do hope he does well, but I don't see him being a Pro Bowler even this year. He's kind of struggling. But it's the Packers and how they use their offense and use their tight ends is kind of the issue, not him. But looking at other tight ends, just looking through my paperwork here. Like I said, Jesse James is playing really well. But the best, the guy with the most points per game for a tight end is ironically the Seattle Seahawks' Will Disley. I say ironically because that used to be Jimmy Graham's position. And so looking overall at every player tight end-wise, Will Disley is averaging 13.35 fantasy points a game. That's pretty good. And then you look at Gronkowski. He had a good game last week, no doubt about it. But he's only averaging at right now in the last two games 9 points. And I feel like he should do more than that. But if I had to go with a tight end right now that I know I can rely on, Travis Kelce and Jesse James are those two guys. If Jesse James gets the ball more often, we'll see how well he does when he is more of a target. But Travis Kelce is known to be a target and a go-to guy, and he is delivered. So I recommend giving that him a chance, and I would hold on to him tightly if you are have a tight end, if you have him as tight end. Going to wide receivers, however, Stephon Diggs right now last week had played 14 downs, and he completed 9 passes for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. But again, he has Kirk Cousins as his quarterback, which is a big improvement from Case Keenum. All due respect to Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins is on another level. And I'll be honest, when I first saw Stephon Diggs' extension that the Vikings gave him, I thought it was just because of that one play he had in the divisional round against the Saints where he caught, it was the Minneapolis Miracle, I guess they deemed it now, where he caught the ball and scored a touchdown with no time left. But when you look at that play, the safety misses the hit by a mile. He hits the hit stick way too soon. He doesn't wrap up. He tries to get a big hit and on him. I don't know why. And he misses like completely. And he hits his own guy after, if you look closely enough. So I think that was maybe a lack of defense rather than Stephon Diggs doing a clutch move. I think he just caught the ball and just, hey, there's a wide open area to the goal line. Like, there was no one there. I could have made that play. Like, that's how it kind of, that's how my opinion, at least. That's how of a whiff that was for the guy tackling him. But when you're looking at Stephon Diggs now, he's kind of doing better with a, I wouldn't call Kirk Cousins an elite quarterback yet, but he's way above average. I would say he's good. I would say he's close. He's getting to that elite status. We'll see how he does the rest of the year, but I would say that hold off on the elite status right now. But he does put a, he does improve that Vikings team a lot, no doubt about it. And Stephon Diggs kind of showed that with his performance last week with 9 catches, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. AJ Green had a day last week. He only completed 5 passes, scored 3 touchdowns. I mean, I feel like if I have a guy with like AJ Green as one of my wide receivers, I'm throwing him more than 9 times. I know he was covered a lot during that game, and he did score 3 touchdowns, granted, but given more passes to him, he'll catch more and he'll get more yards, and fantasy football players or owners of him will be a lot more happy. And granted, he is their top receiver, so he is looked at more defensively. But still, AJ Green is a beast in nature, beast freak of nature, and I recommend just if I'm Bengals, I'm trying to give him the ball almost every play. But again, that's my opinion. Michael Thomas, even though Drew Brees has been struggling, is getting 13 throws to him, which is a good amount for 12 completions, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns last week. But he did have a fumble, which was kind of costly. For fantasy owners, at least. But he's still a number one receiver. Michael Thomas has really improved tremendously with Drew Brees as his quarterback. But again, Drew Brees is your quarterback throwing you the ball. You're going to look very good regardless. Deshaun Jackson has surprised me a whole lot lately because he has multiple 100-yard, multiple touchdowns in multiple games. Like, I don't know when last time that happened. But Fitzpatrick, that's his go-to. Fitzpatrick's go-to receiver is Deshaun Jackson. So as long as Fitzpatrick is starting, I would have Deshaun Jackson on my starting lineup because of the, I wouldn't say bond they have. I would just say they have a chemistry. I mean, he had 4 balls thrown to him for 4 yards, or 4 passes to him for 4 completions, 129 yards. So he got 4 passes only to him, but he caught all 4 and had over 129 yards. Or 120 yards total. So that's something I would look at. But then you look at Juju Smith-Schuster, who got 19 passes thrown to him for 13 completions and 121 yards and a touchdown. And for a second-year guy like that, that's pretty... Getting 19 passes thrown to you in one game is a lot. And he caught 13 of them. He didn't catch all of them, granted, but who does? And he showed that he can be the number one receiver. Like, Antonio Brown, I don't know really what happened to him last week. He did get 17 passes thrown to him, yes, but he had 9 completions, so he missed 8 of those passes. And that could have been a huge addition to some of those fantasy points for those fantasy owners of his. But if you're looking also at the running backs of the Steelers, and you picked Le'Veon Bell number 1, or in the first round in general, you're kind of not happy right now, and I don't blame you. Because you're picking him number 1, or first round, you're thinking he's going to give you... Because the first round, you're obviously going to the guy that I think you could get the most points with. And with the most points, Le'Veon Bell's gotten 0 points. And he picked him in the first round. So that's, you took a gamble because there was, when the fantasy draft started, there was still talk of him holding out and not playing. But I honestly assumed everyone thought he was still going to play regardless, which is a fair assumption, no doubt about it. And looking at his backup running back, who's been playing kind of well, horrible haircut, but relatively playing well. And one of the most important things that I think is going to be a huge factor when he returns is that his offensive line is angry at him. They're frustrated with him. And if the guys that are trying to protect you and give you holes to run in are mad at you, that might not bode well for you. So bottom line is I would definitely consider that once he comes back to the league and comes back to the Steelers. But as a first round pick right now, he's kind of a waste, obviously, in these first 2 weeks. And I've talked about this with Jesse on the football podcast. He might not come back in week 8 or 9. If he comes back week 8 or 9, it's only because he wants to be a free agent and he'll be eligible for free agency by that point. Because you have to play that at that point to become a free agent. But I guess the main question after that is, what team does he want to go to? Which team will sign him? And all that kind of stuff. But right now, the Steelers, kind of without him, I've been struggling. I mean, 0-1-1 speaks for itself. And with Antonio Brown not playing as good as he did and missing meetings on Monday, which is not a good sign. As a player, as a fantasy owner, I why would I want my top player to not go to meetings and not go to practices? That shows a lot of selfless. That shows he's pretty selfish, in my opinion, and not caring. Like, as a football team, you should care about the guy playing next to you, and it should be like football is family type of feeling. If you're only thinking about yourself and you're only thinking about money, I mean, look at, he went into the first week of practice in the offseason on a helicopter. Like, what kind of team player is that when he's trying to get everyone's attention, thinking, look how great I am? But again, that's just my opinion. And looking at Juju Smith-Schuster, I would definitely say he's going to be a very good player going in because people are going to be watching Antonio Brown. And with the defenses having their eye on Antonio Brown, he's getting the 19 passes thrown to him. And I hope he does well. I hope that whoever has him keeps him. And I recommend that if you have him on your fantasy team, keep him on your fantasy team because he's going to give you a lot of points. That is my prediction. But we're going to take a little break again. And when we return, we're going to talk about defenses, which is also fun. And also, who's going to be a breakout? Who's going to break out more than the others? And we'll get right on that when we come back.
The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Podcast, fantasy football podcast. We've talked about wide receivers, we've talked about tight ends, we've talked about quarterbacks, and we've talked about running backs. Now it's time to talk about the defenses. As for kickers, I will just say don't pick Zane Gonzalez because of obvious reasons, and he's not playing anymore. But I think the best kicker in the league right now is Robbie Gould. And keep him. Keep him. He's going to be, since the Niners defense has or offense, excuse me, have a lot of kind of issues right now, I would totally recommend going with him because they're going to kick a lot of field goals this season. Like they, that is, have been always usually a field goal kicking team over the last couple of years. Even with Jim Harbaugh, they always, they seem to be doing a lot of field goals and not that good in the red zone. But looking into the defense, and I think this is probably the most crucial part of fantasy football that people really don't look at, because it's just, it's a whole team. And with defense, you also look at special teams. But the one defense that I think is probably the best one to go with right now is Chicago. They're the best defense right now going today. Well, points-wise, yes. With Khalil Mack, the addition of Khalil Mack from the Raiders, this team's defense has an identity. Khalil Mack has made this defense better. And that is saying a lot going for a team that had a, they had no one on their defense that was like a big name. And they were struggling. And then he comes along. And of course, they did lose to Green Bay, granted. But he also knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game. And I don't think they would have had an opportunity to even get to him if Khalil Mack's not blitzing or faking a blitz and letting somebody else go. So that's what I am predicting, that the Chicago defense with Khalil Mack is going to keep being consistently good through this entire season. So FanDuel and DraftKings, they're probably going to go for cheap right now, which I would buy them. So I would recommend that, as well as going with Minnesota's defense, but that's obvious reasons. They've always been stellar. They've been the best defense in the league for over a season now, and I don't, they don't have no signs of slowing down. So I recommend going with them if in DraftKings and FanDuel. But if you're looking to pick a defense up that I think will start to make some noise, is definitely San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know I've said the secondary is lacking, and that's totally true, but their front seven have looked pretty stellar. DeForest Buckner has been going a couple sacks. They're rushing the QB a lot, and that may be giving the opportunity for the lackluster secondary to get some picks in. But they have a good defensive line, no doubt about it. With Ruben Foster and Malcolm Smith coming back, this team can be the real deal. Well, on defense, at least, in the front seven. The secondary, they still need help on. It's very frustrating as a if you're a 49er fan, it's very frustrating to see like all these sacks and stuff go to waste off these deep passes that have been given up. And not only have they been given up, but like even with the drop passes and missed passes deep downfield by Matt Stafford last week, those guys are still open, and those still could have been easy touchdowns. So hopefully they're looking at that in the tapes. But I would definitely put the Niners front seven up there with the return of Ruben Foster and Malcolm Smith. If you don't remember, Malcolm Smith was the Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 49 against the 48, excuse me, against the Denver Broncos, that 48-8 route, which the game started with a safety, so it wasn't even close from the start. But I would definitely say that Malcolm Smith is a good defender, is a good linebacker, and with Ruben Foster coming back also, and DeForest Buckner playing the way he is, I feel like this front seven of the 49ers defense could really, really make an impact in this game against Kansas City. If they rush Patrick Mahomes, maybe he doesn't get the number of touchdowns. Who knows? But I would still start Patrick Mahomes because that secondary, again, is still lacking. But I would still pick the Niners defense up if your defense is not doing well. Give them a chance because their front seven is still can be considered stellar. And I will keep on, and I will keep with that for the rest of the season until I'm proven wrong otherwise. Another defense that surprised me, which I don't think that surprised a lot of people, but definitely surprised me, how good the Browns defense are, especially with turnovers. Because the last couple of first-round picks they picked are defensive players. Myles Garrett, for example, Denzel Ward this year after Baker Mayfield selected first overall. They have stacked their defense. Jabril Peppers, the first-round pick from Michigan, is also a big factor they picked up last year with Myles Garrett. So this team does have a good defense. I don't think they get enough credit that they deserve because it's the Cleveland Browns, obviously. And they're celebrating like it's the Super Bowl after one win in the last 2 years. So you can understand when you're looking at a Cleveland Browns team and looking at people to pick up in fantasy football, you're not really looking at a team that doesn't win any games and only won one since their last win was on December 24th, 2016, but you probably heard that a lot the last 24 hours, that 635-day mark. I mean, their coach, Hugh Jackson, was 1-31 going into the game last night, and now he's 1-31-1 going into the game last night because I forgot about that tie, and now it's 2-31-1. So he still has a pretty horrific record as a head coach of the Cleveland Browns. But I would still think that defense is stellar, and I would still recommend that defense to play and to get you points, especially with turnovers. They've been very good on turnovers lately. The one team that I would say has, if I had to pick the worst defense in the league right now, it would have to be the Buffalo Bills. Giving up 40 points to Baltimore when they don't really have I don't care what people say. Joe Flacco is not an elite quarterback. I think that's a joke now. He's got paid all that money after winning the Super Bowl, and he's not performed the way he got paid since then. I don't see Joe Flacco as a elite quarterback. I don't think a lot of people do. With the addition of Michael Crabtree, that still doesn't put that offense into a elite standard or any above average. I think they're just average at best. So going into that, I would say that Baltimore or Buffalo's defense giving up that many points to that Baltimore Ravens team is a bad sign of things to come. I think the Buffalo Bills are turning into the Cleveland Browns. I think they might not win a game. They're that bad. If you watch them play, LeSean McCoy is their only weapon, and he barely plays. Like he's getting up there in age, so it's getting kind of bad. But what I would say is, their quarterback, Allen, their first-round pick out of Wyoming, he's a good arm, but not that accurate of a passer. He's not good on accuracy, and I would have preferred Josh Rosen over him because I just felt like he was the better quarterback. But they passed on Rosen and went with Allen, and now they started with Newman, who threw 5 picks in 1 game last year. So I don't know. That quarterback situation is really messy in Buffalo, as well as their defense, as well as their offensive line. I don't think they have any receiving weapons whatsoever. So my thing is, if you have anybody on the Buffalo Bills, do release them, put them on waivers, try to trade them, something, because that team is going nowhere fast. And I don't see them getting many points. But I doubt anyone has a Buffalo member on their fantasy football team. So that is my big take on who's not hot, is definitely the Buffalo Bills in its entirety. But I would also say LeSean McCoy plays okay, because he's pretty good even at his old age. But I would definitely put the Buffalo Bills on the bottom of my list of players that I need. If I'm looking for players, I'm looking at that team the least. And then you look at the Los Angeles Chargers defense is really stacked. I mean, they're looking pretty good as well, and they're doing the LA versus LA matchup this week in at the Coliseum, Rams Chargers. Technically, the Chargers are in a way, but if you watch them play, their 30-seat stadium is usually filled with the opposite team's crowd. So it's like they're playing OA game every single game. Honestly, it felt like last year they were the first team to play 16 games away, because of how many different fans of the team that was playing there was. And when you have that not good of a fan base and you still try to do good, hats off to you. And their defense has been playing exceptionally well. Phillip Rivers has been playing exceptionally well. There's a lot of people that predict them to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not one of them personally, but I do see why people think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. They do have a good defense, and they're on the rise, definitely, without question. But I would definitely have their defense. I would look out for them. If your opponent has their defense, I would definitely watch out for them. If you're looking for someone in FanDuel or DraftKings, and I think they're going to be up at the highest with money. They might be low. I guess it depends on the situation, depends on who they're playing. But I definitely pick them. Because what you want to do in DraftKings and FanDuel, I wouldn't want to pick the same guys other people are picking. I would want to try to beat them, because I would try to beat them and get in first place without having to tie like 15,000 other people. So I'm not sure. I do think the Los Angeles Chargers are a defense you should pick in that FanDuel DraftKings area. But again, if you have them on your fantasy team, you should know that they are going to come in clutch for you, and they're going to probably get you some good amount of points. Granted, they've only had 9 points last week. But they did have 2 picks and 5 sacks. But again, you get 10 points automatically if they don't score. So a lot of that is based off of, like, they lost a point because they scored, granted. But you're looking also at, you're also looking at the fact of who they're playing. And if they're playing the Rams, I would definitely be a little worried if they're on my defense, no doubt about it, just for this week. But if they're as good as everyone says there is, they are. They should do fairly well against the Los Angeles Rams, and it should be close. But in the other podcast, the football podcast and the sports podcast, I did pick the Rams to win because they're the best team in the league, and their defense really hasn't showed that they're the best. But that defense is stacked for a reason, and they're going to be stellar throughout the rest of the season, in my opinion. Seattle's defense, who usually was picked favorably by everybody, the Legion of Boom, is dead. What I mean by that is the Legion of Boom's dead, the 12th man is dead, the Seattle Seahawks' reign as kings of the NFC West is over. And it just ended last year with the Rams winning the division. But their dominance, their awesomeness on defense is dead. Richard Sherman's gone. A lot of other guys are gone. Cam Johnson is not there anymore. It's just Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas is the last one left, and he didn't want to be there. He was holding out, wanting to be traded, wanting to release his contract. So Seattle defense is not the defense you want. And it showed the last couple of weeks how they've been playing. They've given up some points. But when you're looking at that Seattle defense, Earl Thomas can't do everything on his own. He can't rush the ball and defend the ball at the same time, and he's kind of slowing down, in my opinion. He's not at the best. Richard Sherman with the 49ers, he's been playing lockdown. His stats don't show it, but if you watch the games, he's been locked down at corner, and they don't throw in his direction. I've seen some balls thrown in Earl Thomas's direction, and the guy catches the ball. So with the Seattle defense, I would definitely hold up on that. But I'm all 60 defense, and I'm gonna end this with guessing who's gonna go off this week. And my main choice for this, I'm gonna pick quarterback, is Patrick Mahomes. I said this earlier, and I'm saying it again. Patrick Mahomes is gonna go off in the 49ers secondary. But if you're gonna look at running backs and who's gonna do well with running backs, I would definitely say Todd Gurley is an opportunity you would take with him again. But again, the Chargers defense is good. But shockingly, I'm going to go with this. Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a career day. That's my guess. That's my bold prediction for this week, if you will. So definitely, Ezekiel Elliott is a strong guess, that's for sure. He did only have 17 carries. He had 17 carries for 78 yards last week and a touchdown. But I feel like there's more to come. I feel like he's gonna go off, and I feel like it's this week. It's a long time coming. If not, Philip Lindsay's gonna go off. One of those two is gonna have a career day. If you have those two, I would suggest holding on to them with a big smile on your face, hoping they will do well. And if I had to pick another quarterback that will go off besides Mahomes, see, that's a tough one, but I definitely say Kirk Cousins because he's playing the Buffalo defense, and I said they're the worst in the league. And it's basically the best team in the league versus the worst team in the league right now. And I would definitely say Kirk Cousins is going to have a career day against that horrendous Buffalo defense. And if you want to like join in on the fun with, if you don't have Cousins, I would get Diggs. Have Stefon Diggs on your, or Adam Thielen on your fantasy team, because those are the two guys he throws to the most. And those are the two guys. Deshaun Jackson, I don't see him going that off for too long. But in general, I would definitely say that if you want a guy to go off, make sure he's on the Minnesota Vikings, because they're playing a horrendous Buffalo team. And even though they didn't make the playoffs last year, the Buffalo Bills did barely. This team's not going anywhere. And this team's in the dumps at the moment. They're in the dumpster of the NFL. And the Vikings are going to take full advantage of that. And so if you have anyone on the Vikings, I highly suggest holding on to them and starting them for this week. But that is all the time we have for this week. Thank you so much for listening to my first podcast appearance on the Fantasy Football, and I will see you next time. And we'll see if I'm right or horribly, horribly wrong, but that's the beauty of fantasy football.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.